Fred Film Radio.
This is Fred Film Radio. I'm Samantha Sartori at New York Asian Film Festival 2018. This is the 17th edition of the festival that brings the best movies from all Asia. For 2 weeks, 58 Asian movies will be at Film Society of Lincoln Center and SVA Theater from 29th of June to 15th of July 2018. Among the movies selected this year from the Philippines, Sid and Haya, and today we are here with the director of the movie, Irene Villamor, to talk about the movie. Good morning, Irene.
Good morning.
And thank you for being with us.
Thanks.
How much did the Black Swan theory influence you in the writing of this modern fairy tale?
I'm actually a fan of the Taleb, the one who proposed that theory. And so when I read about it during my research for the, because it involves stock exchange and for the character of Sid, so I was interested in that part of that event that will change everything. So that unexpected event. So it basically is the basis of
the
how.
Start of
it's the start. It's the beginning of that fairy tale, as you could.
Yeah. Without revealing too much about the movie, can you tell us where you find this story and why you decided to set this story in the finance world?
I was actually looking for material that would encapsulate my midnight conversations with people, because I really like spending those wee hours. I'm an insomniac myself. The first title of this movie was Insomniac. And then I was looking for a character that's going to stay up at that night and burdened with this all these thoughts and loneliness. So one of the interesting things, and that hasn't really been explored in my country, in the Philippines, is the stock exchange field. I mean, it has not done before in romantic movies. So that's where it came from, that idea.
I see. And also the part of, like, insomnia and finding, like, something to do.
It's
meanwhile,
the urban loneliness that it's actually an influence of the many films that I've seen. Like, I like Lost in Translation a lot. So so I was like, I really want to do something like not really usual in the Philippines. I mean, we don't really talk about loneliness.
No, absolutely.
I mean, introspection. We are happy people.
Yes, or like, I was very interested in your movie because, you know, it was a different kind of Filipino movies, because often there is a lot of politics, there is a lot of crime, there is a lot of kind of these topics. But it's very rare, seeing something like your movie that is not, is a fairy tale, is not actually a love story, you write in the title.
Uh-huh.
And another aspect of the movie which is very, very interesting is Aya, who is very far from a classical Cinderella. She works hard, she's independent. How did you work on her character?
Aya, the fierce Aya, is actually my thought about how a woman who struggles in this city life is. And I also get her from, there's this production assistant that I know who has a mother in Japan. And it's a guy, so he hasn't seen his mom for 15 years. So I was like really interested in that story, that your own mom would not come over even for, I mean, it's just Japan, it's how many miles, it's not, but she cannot because she's like, she's illegal, and then she doesn't know how to survive in the Philippines anymore because she's been living there. So I really was interested in that story, and then turned it into a female, because it's he's a male, and then to a female perspective, and then put in my thoughts as well, so that it was how Aya came to be.
No, it's very interesting because she also surround him in the meaning that she's not only in the coffee shop, she's in the laundry, and is almost a metaphor of something that is there outside, completely outside of your world, but is there, and he might be something that...
Yeah, she's like a character that's so persistent in him. Like, when we were doing it, Anne was saying how is she going to be believable? How is she going to do it, that she has all these jobs and, well, her status in the Philippines? She's a part Aussie. So I said, yo, you can do it with this. We had a lot of discussions on the character, and so we're glad that she just pulled through, and many audiences were like, Anne Curtis is Aya. Yeah, and then many people were like relating to her and how she changes Sid in time. So they were like, "Ah, I'm dreaming I would have Sid, but I'm dreaming I am Aya." They're like a lot of the Filipino audience really were.
Like, yes, they are more attracted with her, like independence and knowing what she wants.
Yeah, she does.
And
more than being the damsel like in distress. Yeah. She's not really the damsel in distress.
What is the most challenging part of making movies in Philippines?
Well, of course the budget. I had to be honest about that because you have to work in this given. It's hard to produce movies in the Philippines. So we try to make stories with that in mind. But when you're there in the set, you have to show it out the door. Like, okay, I just have to be this creative in telling this story without worrying about the budget. But the budget's like there. Like, what if I want to do this shot? And how much would that cost? And all that. So that's the basic challenge, actually. And then it's the audience also. It's a challenge. Because it's hard to discern the tastes. Right now, it's really for the mainstream. For mainstream audiences, it's really hard because of Netflix and and also piracy is also a problem in our country. So people can watch movies and download it, and they also watch in Facebook. Like Sid and I is already in Facebook. So we were asking Facebook to pull it down. I mean, all the sites. So production is really hard, and I mean producing it. So that's the main challenge, and how it will gain box office. I mean, you want the producer's money to be returned, so you can produce another kind of movie. Awesome. I mean, like this movie. I mean, it's when we were doing this, we weren't sure if it's gonna be a hit. I mean, if people would like it because it's kind of different from the usual love stories. So it was a hit and miss, I think.
Yes, but that's why they choose it for this festival, I guess.
I guess, for this festival. Yeah,
yeah, because it's really unique and really new novel. Mm-hmm. And you always write your movies. So what is your, like, you write your movie and then you are there on set and you might want to make change. How does it work? Like, you stick on your script or you are flexible and you work with the actor in order to, like...
Yeah, I'm pretty flexible on set. Like, every time there's a change, like, it's a pretty collaborative thing for me because I write and direct. When I write, I just think of it as a story. I don't direct it yet while I'm writing. But when I direct on the set, people would come in and say all their comments that they haven't seen while writing. So even my assistant director is free to comment because I'm training her to be a writer as well. So she comments. My cinematographer would comment. My actors would comment. So it's a lot of like, would this line be really? Would she really say this line?
So you're open to change and. The subtitle of the movie is Not a Love Story. After watching the movie, I understood what you meant. Would you tell us the decision to state this in the title of the movie?
The first reason is to engage the audience to, like, what I've discovered, it was an interactive thing for the audience. Like, they came in with that in mind, to discover why is this not a love story? Because love stories in the Philippines are really like big hits, we have already a formula for it, and so it's a lot of things why it's not a love story, because of the characters. It's not really their story together, but it's their own fight. It's their own love story within themselves or whatever. And then it was more of an engagement on the audience part, on how to discover the whole story and how to find out little things that, everybody's like asking, why is it not a love story when they came in? And then people coming out of it saying, yeah, it's not a love story. So it's for people to discover. That's why I put it in the title. It's going to be an experience when they get inside, like they're ready for what's about to come, like how to read the film and not in the context of that whole fairy tale thing.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah. What is your next project? What are you working on?
My next movie is another novel idea in the Philippines. It's magic realism. it's gonna be. I'm pretty excited about it. It's a lot of my movies are character based and about discovering yourself and loving yourself. So this is another of that kind. But I'm just exhausting all the ways to present that idea. So this one is going to be with a magic realism element on it, and it's gonna be. It's going to be strange for people to, in the Philippines, for the movie audiences there. I do mainstream movies in the Philippines, so, but I want to do mainstream movies that are like still, I'm not sure if I can say this, like festival worthy or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, so I like to bring the mainstream, a big part of audiences, not just like a niche culture or whatever. I like to bring them as far flung as, because we have how many islands, and yeah, I want to bring that kind of filmmaking to as many theaters as possible. So that's why I'm combining the mainstream elements and
hopefully
the
No, it's nice because like it's always for movie makers is important having like audience, mainstream like recognition. But it's also nice when your work is recognized in smaller festivals that are very interest in new kind of movies, new kind of approach, new kind of writings, and well, good luck with that. Thanks to Irene Villamor for being with us today. From New York Asian Film Festival 2018, I'm Samantha Sartori, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.